Fellas to the Grown Man Podcast. I'm your host, Kirk Kersey, and I got a co-host on today's episode.
Yes, sir. What up, Coach? Yes, sir. Glad to be on, man. This is awesome. Long time coming, Kurt.
Coach Atala is on here with us, which if you remember, I forget what episode of the podcast you were on, but still the most downloaded episode of the show to date.
We were just, man, we were having a good time. It was just two good old boys just hanging out and talking. It was awesome.
We got a really cool show today, though. We invited an amazing guest, a guy by the name of Sam Acho. He's an NFL linebacker. Has spent, how many years did he say? 8 years?
I think he's 10 now. I think this is going to be, 10. So he's well past the normal life expectancy of an NFL athlete, that's for sure.
He's a total freaking rock star stud. Played at the University of Texas, had a standout career there, went in the fourth round. And then you have NFL draft, has gone on now to be on the NFLPA committee, both for the Bears and just the general national committee. Super strong believer, but putting out a book.
Likely
the
week too,
that
right?
You're listening to this podcast, the book is coming out because we're going to time it up for him. It's called Let the World See You. And man, Adam, I don't know about you, dude, but like, so we're recording this intro right after we recorded the episode with him.
Absolutely.
And I like got chills. I'm like ready to do backflips.
Like, let's go. Like, time to lift right now. Like, let's go. Sam brings a level of authenticity and just real, authentic grown man, right? Persona that we want. Like, we want dudes like this. And to see him in his environment and to share his story, to talk about where he's going and where God has placed him and then literally guiding those footsteps. You guys are going to love this episode.
You talk about a guy like what did he say? 6'3", 260.
Oh, he's
a man's man.
He's a dude.
Linebacker.
Yes. Yeah.
And to share what you guys are about to listen to on the podcast of like just transparency, the raw stuff, the emotional stuff that all of us walk through and most of us run from. And that Sam is just encouraging men across the globe to just like, we need you to actually show up as who you are.
I'm glad that I'm not alone out there. Like there are other like dudes like this guy who's got it together, who's reached the pinnacle of success in what we would say most society would, you know, say like that is it. And here he is and I'm relating to him on so many fronts. And I feel like these listeners and all you guys out there are going to feel the same way. He just absolutely crushed it.
Yeah. So depending on when you're listening to this episode, samachobook.com to pre-order. I'm not sure exactly when we'll release this, but samachobook.com to pre-order or Let the World See You. Just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever to grab a copy of the book. And maybe in the middle of this episode, you better tune in because we'll do a little giveaway if you want to try to snag a grown man edition.
Curse full of surprises. Everybody knows that.
All right, here's our interview with Sam Acho.
Let's get it.
Hey. Sam, welcome to the show, brother.
Man, I'm glad to be on. Thank y'all for having me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We're coming on a Friday afternoon after a week of workouts, a full morning of workouts, I know for sure. So thanks for still bringing it here with us this afternoon.
Without a doubt, I'm definitely extremely sweaty right now. And but it's totally fine. We're gonna get it worked out.
Yes, sir.
Dude, so I'm equally stoked and intimidated to have you on the show because Adam and I were joking about doing a little bit of homework on you ahead of time. And honestly, the thing that stuck out to me, I'm gonna find it here in my notes real quick. Senior year at UT, named one of the 20 smartest athletes in sports by Sporting News. Only two college players made the list, and you were one of those too. So, like, I'm intimidated, obviously, because of your track record as an athlete and all this awesome stuff you got going on. You got a book coming out, which we're going to talk about. But, man, just to think about that niche that you've carved out for yourself, that legacy that you're leaving behind to say, hey, I can do it on the field and off the field is really powerful and important message today.
No, that was honestly really important for me, not necessarily winning the awards or getting any accolades, but I just wanted to break stereotypes. For whatever reason, I always felt like people had athletes in this one box. And then they had people who were good at school in this one box, and people who were Christians in a different box, and people who were artistic in a different box. And I just wanted to, I just always felt this need and desire and opportunity really just to break all the boxes and put it all into one big conglomerate.
Absolutely.
So And so I really made a point to obviously I love learning. I love language. I love math. Like I love all those things and also love football and competing. And so I really made it a point to try and be great at all those things. And though I have some ups and downs, I found my way onto the list. So
you don't have to be one dimensional, right, Sam? Like that's the most important thing there. Don't be one dimensional, right? Go for excellence in more than just one thing, right? Because you don't know when that next thing comes or when something ends. And that's it. You're setting yourself up for much bigger things than just, hey, I went to Texas and played football, which most people, again, would probably be like, hey, I'm good, check the box. Like that is all time, whatever. But for you, you're like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take a different route here, right? And that's being more than one dimensional. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
My parents are from Nigeria. They were born and raised there, and they came to America in their early 20s. And I was born in Dallas, and I have two older sisters and a little brother. But I just say that story to say, and they worked hard, became successful, right? They, dad's a doctor, mom's my dad's a psychologist, started a church. My mom has a PhD, or she has a DNP, right? Doctor in nurse practitioning. I say all that to say, I'm in the NFL, and my parents are like, all right, that's cool, but we got PhDs over here, right? Like the NFL, the NFL it's cool, but it's not everything, right? My sister, who we kind of joke is like the dumb one in the family, right? If I can say that, like she has her PhD and her master's degree. You know what I mean? My little brother got his PhD, played in the league, doing stuff for ESPN and Fox. Mother, sister, she's managing at a hospital. So it's like, all right, cool, Sam, NFL, that's great, but let's get to the real life after football.
No wonder my man's already looking out to the next thing. So he's got some shoes to fill here, it sounds like, man. I'm sitting here thinking like, man, the accolade list and some of the other stuff we've already started off with. Shoot, Sam, you better pick it up, bud, apparently.
I'm telling you, that's a lot of where that drive comes from. And honestly, the pressure too. So we talk about these two sides, right? Man, I want to be great, but also am I great? Like that's like, I think a lot of people, a lot of men especially, kind of you deal with that. Okay, this idea that, or the reality that, man, I'm supposed to be a leader and I'm supposed to be a provider and a protector. And even for my family, I'm supposed to be, for lack of better terms, like a prophet, like to lead them, show them where we're going. And even like this priestly figure for my family. But I'm just trying to get myself figured out. So what do I do with that? And those are the questions. That's the weight I feel like I always had to carry of, I'm 6'3", 255, right? I always feel like this little kid in a big man's body. I think a lot of us, I'm 31 years old, right? A lot of us feel this weight and this pressure. So navigating through that, I think is going to be really important as we all continue to walk this walk that people call life.
You got three kiddos too, right? Is that right?
I do. Yeah. We have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
What are their names?
Caleb, Sophia, and Kelechi. And all their names are actually really specifically chosen. We picked Caleb because obviously the story of Caleb and Joshua in the Bible, those are two of the 12 spies who actually went and believed what God had said, right? They went and looked at the promised land, right? Land flowing with milk and honey. And it was like, they said like the houses are huge and the grapes are like the size of my
the stories, like all the stories. Yeah.
Right. Man. And everyone else was like, no, or we're going to get eaten alive by the giants. And they were like, nah, man, God promised that I want to live there. And so first name Caleb, his middle name is a Nigerian name. It's Chinna Zepere. And it means that God answers prayers. And just story of my wife and I's life, he's always answered our prayer. Sophia, I just always love the name. It means wisdom. Her middle name is Ijama in Nigerian. It means almost like it's like a send off, like safe journey, good luck, one of those kind of things. Uh-huh. And then Kelechi, the baby. Kelechi means thank God, and his middle name is Victor. So it's almost like this idea: thank God for victory. Right?
As men,
wow. Yeah. So that's where I got the names.
Now, and that's Nigerian. That is native tongue, then, or like
Igbo. Okay. Igbo specifically is the tribe, and that's of the Igbo language, the Igbo tribe. My wife is from Nigeria as well. Her name is Ngazi, which also has its own meaning as well.
That's awesome. Amazing, is the same tribe from your mom and dad as well? Like, kind of walk us. Tell us about that part. Can you dive into that a little bit of this unique background?
I would love to, man. I talk about this in the book a little bit too, which I'm talking about. So this idea, there's a chapter called Blessing. And so Ngazi in Igbo means blessing. And so it's this idea that our story is bigger than just us. Okay. Oftentimes we get caught up in this idea, well, my actions don't really matter. I'll just, you know, you only live once, do what I want. But no. Your story is so much bigger than you. So yes. Ngozi, who's my wife, she actually, we met when we were 15 years old or 14, 15 years old in Nigeria. So she had never been to America before. She was born and raised in Nigeria. Wow. We actually met because she had moved from the city she was living in to the village to go take care of my grandmother. And it was supposed to be a 2-3 week, just hang out for Christmas break. And it turned out to be a lot longer, as we obviously can see.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so they actually became, so my grandma had sick, had diabetes, needed someone to take care of her. She lived in the village with no light, no running water, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And the young lady who was taking care of her before had been caught stealing. And so my grandma kicked her out. And so we needed this, like, somebody to just help for a couple of weeks. And my grandma said, nah, she's the one, like, this person I can trust. I like her. Like, she's good. Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't my wife at the time, but Ngozi decided to stay. And so here's what I mean when I say our stories are bigger than us. So she got a chance to know my grandmother really, really well. And so there's so many stories about me and my family. It's before we got married, before I even knew who she was. She knew all about my family. And so fast forward, I go to Nigeria. My parents do medical mission work. So I would go, I was 15, did my first medical mission trip. And I see this young girl and I'm like, man, she's kind of attractive, right? But also I'm 15. And so everybody's kind of attractive, you know? But year after year, I would go and I would see, I'm like, man, there's something about this girl. And so it wasn't until I was actually 22, 23, I went over with one of my teammates, Calais Campbell, 6'8", 300-pound beast. He's one of my best friends. He went to Nigeria with me. We land, get off the plane. He sees her. He says, bro, who is that? She is beautiful. What are you waiting for? And so that's a little bit of the story. There's even more to it, but I'm gonna make y'all buy the book before I give out all my
stuff. There you go. That sounds like you're a family guy too, man. Big family guy.
SamMachoBook.com. Yes. Love my family's huge for me and also for our even Nigerian culture is really big.
And the title of your book, Sam, what is it?
Yes. So the title of the book is called Let the World See You. Okay. How to be real in a world full of fakes. So that's available. You can go to sammachobook.com. You can pre-order it. You'll get the first chapter for free and also some pretty cool content as well. So yeah, sammachobook.com, Let the World See You. And that's kind of the journey I'm on, right? How do we show ourselves to the world?
Yeah. Another book to add to the list for you, buddy.
Dude, this book, I read the first chapter. The first chapter is amazing. I won't spoil it for people. Go download the freaking first chapter. You guys got a first chapter in you, at least, to get back on the reading train here during Corona.
Myself included. But man,
you got endorsements from Lecrae, Sam Ponder, who I know is a good friend of yours. We'll talk maybe about the Home Team podcast in a little bit. John Gordon, Jeff Bethke, Annie Downs, Dr. Tony Evans, Kurt Warner, like some real people, some real leaders in our community that are saying they're getting behind this book, man. So just kudos to what you're doing. You're building something really special. I'm curious, you know, we talk about this like really amazing story, this amazing storyline of your family, then this background of yours to pursue both education and faith and football. And you were a multi-sport athlete in high school too, a pretty darn good athlete in sounds like track and field and basketball as well. So just this like amazing mix of all these different characteristics of what it means to be a grown man, right? The theme of this podcast. And I'm curious about, and I know this is part of the storyline of the book, right? You're in the NFL, you're having an amazing run in the NFL. You just signed a new contract with the Bears, I think, right? You quietly get your MBA and tell nobody about it, right? I know that's like the thread we're tugging on for the book, but talk to me about like, why go get your MBA when you're right in the thick of this amazing career that you're still in today? And like, why hide it from everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. So we talked about in college, I was named top 20 smartest athletes, all that stuff. But more importantly, or maybe just as importantly, I won this award called the Campbell Trophy. It's the Academic Heisman Trophy. And so I was pumped about the award. But with the award came a $25,000 postgraduate scholarship that you have to use within 2 years. And so most people win this award. It's like, okay, good. I won the award. My college days are over. I'm going to go to the best schools ever. Well, I had aspirations and dreams to go to the NFL. And so my goals were to go to the NFL. And so I went to the NFL. I got drafted by the Cardinals, played my first year. I tied the rookie sack record. I felt like I was like, man, I kind of got this NFL thing handled. But I said, man, now I got like a couple months left before this $25,000 goes to waste.
Cash it in.
Yeah, I'm gonna cash that mug in. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to waste any of that.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, cool, let me hit up just what's the best school I can think of. Think of Stanford, right? Hey, Stanford, Sam Macho, I play in the NFL. I want to come do your MBA program. I got the $25,000. Let's make it happen. And they're like, hey, Sam, thanks for reaching out. But here's the deal with our MBA program. It's a 2-year program, and most anyone who comes in our program, they have to stop whatever their career is, their profession, and do it full time. And I said, yeah, I can't do that. I got this whole other thing that people would die for. Well, they said, sorry, no exceptions. Thanks, but no thanks. Nice knowing you. So I'm like, cool, crap, what do I do now? And so I'm playing for the Arizona Cardinals. And one of my friends, she says, hey, Sam, I heard you're trying to get your MBA. And one of my friends from college, I was on the business honors program. She said, there's this really good school in Arizona called Thunderbird. And I'm thinking she's making it up, right? What school is that is called Thunderbird that's really good? She's like, no, it's an international school, one of the best international MBAs you can get anywhere. And it's in your backyard. I'm like, all right, cool. Sounds good. But I'm not going to a school called Thunderbird. It doesn't make any sense. One of my buddies who's from Phoenix, I think he heard me on the phone with my friend. He's like, wait, did you say Thunderbird? I said, yeah. He's like, dude, no, people from all around the world come here. It's actually ranked the number one international MBA you can get anywhere.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so I look it up and I see it's literally 38 minutes from our practice facility. And so I reach out. I didn't come with the whole, hey, I'm saying, that's wild. I was like, hey, man, I'd love to go to your school. Is there any way we can make it happen? They're like, they said, man, we would love for you to make it happen. And we'll figure it out. I understand your schedule, but we have people who come from different nations. We'll figure it out. And so every single offseason from my second year in the NFL, so pretty much my fifth year, I would go to Thunderbird. And so what I would do is, when I say offseason, I mean, so January, February, March, we're usually off, even a little bit in April. So every day, right, however many hours I was taking, you know, during that season. And then when April started, we would have practice 4 hours a day, right, 8 a.m. to noon or 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And so I'd go to practice. And I would quickly either change or maybe not change and just Zoom to my MBA program. And I didn't tell anybody. And the reason I didn't tell anybody to your question was that I always felt like there was a stigma that I was a smart guy, that I was too smart to play football. And I didn't want that stigma. I didn't want that to hold me back from getting on the field. I wanted to be seen as this tough, rough, hard hitter. And I just feel like if the people knew I was getting my MBA, they would think that I didn't care about football. Mm-hmm. And so literally only one person knew, and that was, you can guess it, Calais Campbell, who was my best friend from the team. He saw me one day and said, man, what are you doing? Why are you rushing out of here so quick? I was like, man, I got to go somewhere. Where are you going? I'm kind of getting my MBA.
that was going to be my question, because I knew like Thunderbird's no joke. Like, how do you keep that quiet from your squad, like from your locker room family, you know?
Yeah. Thankfully, a lot of them didn't know about Thunderbird. I mean, a lot of, you know, and then what I did was, so every offseason, and then finally actually took classes during the season one year, took a couple online classes during the season because I wanted to hurry up and finish, because that was the time I had gotten met in Ghazi, the time I went with Calais and was getting married. I didn't mention this part of the story, but after we met, he said, who was that? She's beautiful. We started talking, and a year later we were married. Ooh, so, awesome, so yeah.
That's beautiful, bro. I love that, man.
That is awesome.
What, like, talk to me a little bit about, like, so you wrote this book. The book's about to come out in October 13th. Pre-order now. Have we said that yet? SamMachoBook.com, right?
Yeah. Check
SamMachoBook.com.
Talk to me about, like, why a book now? Like, I feel like a lot of guys would maybe double down on career in the NFL. You're, you know, on the NFLPA committee. You got all this stuff going on in the football world. Why, like, take the time and energy that's required that goes into writing a book, and not just like a book that you're going to like put out on your own, nothing wrong with self-publishing, but this is like Thomas Nelson is doing this book. This is a legit book. Like, why do that now?
Yeah. Things in my life had come to a head. On the outside, it looked like I had it all together. I had just come off of signing a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract I was always the guy with the rookie minimums, or maybe I'll make it, maybe I wouldn't. That was always my career. But finally, year 8, I grinded the year before, was almost like this, like forget you mentality. I'm just going to go and grind. And I did. And I signed this deal. And it was almost like I had doubled down and things were supposed to be great. And I got the money and got the success and got the wife and kid. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Things were not great. My relationship with my wife was deteriorating, with my kids wasn't healthy, with my parents. And it all stemmed from me. It all stemmed from something that was going on inside of my heart. It stemmed from me just suffocating. Like, all of us have this little kid inside of us. Mm-hmm. Like this kid that just wants to come out and just play and just laugh and joke and cry and be loved and hug. And I've been suffocating that little kid for so long, in the name of performance, in the name of, I got to go grind and be the best and the pressure's on me and I got to prove to everybody that I'm this and I'm that. And so you say, why write this book? It was squeezed out of me, Kurt.
Wow.
Like, imagine this orange. It was just squeezed out of me. And like the juice that came out of, imagine orange half squeezed. The juice that came out was this book. People ask me, they say, man, what do you do? I love speaking, right? I love playing, but I'm an encourager. My spiritual gifts, right? My spiritual gift, if you want to call it that, is encouragement. And so I love speaking to people to encourage them. I love being in locker rooms to encourage people. And so when I got to this point where it seemed like everything was going good, but on the inside I was going, things were going bad, I did not know what to do. And so I sat down with one of my friends, my buddies, when I used to live in Phoenix, and a guy who had, we'd done work in the past, and I always put on my million-dollar smile and laughing and joking, and I was in tears. I was in tears because I had been lied to. The promise was you perform and you get successful, you get money, everything's going to go good. And it wasn't. Right. And so I said, man, I just need this season to start. let me just get back to work, get the season start, and I'll be fine. And he says, Sam, if that's how you're feeling right now, he said, I'm concerned what happens when football is over for you. I'm concerned about your marriage, about your relationship with your kids. I'm concerned about you. And he actually recommended me go talk to a counselor. And I did. And I did. Funny enough, the day I met with this counselor was the day I was reporting the training camp. And so that morning I go, never talked to any, never thought it was, oh, I'm good, I'm fine. And so I sit with him and I look at him, he looks at me and we start talking and I was laughing, smiling. Yeah, I'm good. Just wanted to come check it out, see what you're about. He looks at me and he says, Sam, I got a question. He says, what do you do when you get angry? And I say, well, I try not to get angry. He says, no, come on. What do you do when you get angry? I say, I try not to get angry. And he looks at me again. He says, Sam, everybody gets angry. What do you do when you get angry? And all of a sudden I start, out of nowhere, I start crying. I start crying. And he actually comes close, puts his hand on my shoulder, hand on my heart. And he says, it's nice to see you, Sam. It's nice to see you. And oh, by the way, get used to hearing that. And so when I say this book was squeezed out of me, so we have this conversation. I said, well, where do I go from here? He says, well, I recommend you start journaling, writing something, and start listening to music. And so I did. So mind you, finish this meeting, swing down to training camp, start writing again. And I don't know what words were coming out, but I remember tears were coming out and try to get myself together. I had to throw some music on, right? Try to get myself together. Went to practice the next day. We do our conditioning test, right? You know, running 10 or 1500 yard sprints.
Yep.
Finish those. I'm in the locker room. I'm sitting down by myself, not talking. My teammate looks at me and he says, hey, Acho, you good? And usually I would say, Kurt and Adam, usually I would say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just tired, or make something up, right? Mm-hmm. So I could look, I had it together. He says, hey, Acho, you good? And I said, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not. He looks at me, his dude's name was Nick Williams. He said, hey, you need to let that out. Whatever you got in there, let it out. And we lock eyes. He looks at me, I look at him, and I start crying again. He sits down next to me, puts his hand on my shoulder. He says, it's good to see you, Sam. It's nice to see you. Funny enough, a couple of minutes later, another one of my teammates had walked in. This is the guy who actually got into fights with. This is a guy who, Akeem Hicks, and look him up, right? 6'5", 335, 340. And I would always try to put my best foot forward in front of him, because if you show any sign of weakness in front of some people, they're going to be on your head. And so he sees me, and I'm in like water up and everything. And he's like, oh, what's going on? Like, what's going on here, right? He's like, are you doing okay? And I look at him and said, honestly, bro, I said, I never would have shown you this side of me. Mm. And he looked at me and he said, in all reality, I probably gave you good reason not to. Mm. And so what he does, he goes and he changes the playlist, right? In locker room, we got music going on, right? I ain't smoking all that, right? We got all the deal, whatever going on. Yeah. And he changes the playlist. And the playlist that it was changed to were the exact same songs I've been listening to the night before.
Whoa.
Songs about God's love for me. A song called He Saw the Best in Me. Anybody who knows Marvin Sapp says he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. And so it's this idea of like, and then it goes on and says, he's mine, I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am, right? And so this idea of God sees the best in me, and I felt like everyone else around me had only seen the worst. And all of a sudden, the song comes on, I start crying again, right? And so you ask where this book came from. It came from being, I literally felt, Kurt and Coach, I felt like I was in one of those snow, you know, the little snow globes.
Yeah.
And I felt like my world was being shaken, because people, I haven't shared yet is that after that happened, I ended up at my multi-year, multi-million dollar contract. I got benched, right? We traded for Khalil Mack. So I get benched. 2 weeks later, I tear my pec. So I get out for, I'm out for the season. Little after that, one of my mentors passes away. Little after that, my wife's wallet gets stolen. Little after that, a little after that, our house floods. And then a week after that, or a couple weeks after that, I get released. Right. And as I got the call from the Bears saying they're going to release me, never been cut in my entire life from anything.
Right.
Usually the first one picked in everything.
Right.
I get this. As soon as I hang up the phone, funny enough, that's why it's good to have a good wife, right? The Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from God.
Yes.
I hang up the phone. My wife looks at me. She says, no shaking. We're not shaking. And I understood that. But the way I felt two things. One, as if I was in this snow globe, right? Like right in the palm of God's hands, and he was shaking it, shaking my life, but I felt secure. I felt everything around me was, but I felt secure.
There's perspective in that. Yep.
Exactly. And what I also felt at that time was I also felt like there was this book being written in my life, but I wasn't privy to turn the next page. And so how this book came about was and I talked about it at the very beginning, I sat down with a friend. He says, hey, go talk to this counselor. What I didn't mention is during that conversation, he said, hey, maybe God's writing a book in your life and you may only be on chapter 2. And so that was at the very beginning, right? Mind you, all that stuff happened,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so finally I came back to him and said, man, I feel like I'm on chapter 12 right now, man. We need to do something. So that's where this book came from.
That's powerful, bro.
That's power. Like I got the chills like multiple times through that story. And I think like Sam, you said at the beginning of that story that like you're an encourager. And I think like I'd love to just take a second to encourage you, because you said this book was squeezed out of you, right? And I love that analogy of like God's taking you through this season, just this tough season, right? My life verse is John 16:33. It says, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Right. And so God puts us in these moments where he squeezes us so that we can rely on him.
Right.
Right. But I think what's really powerful about what you did, you started the story by saying you opened up to a friend. You had a friend that could call you out, that had that kind of what we call from our buddy Brian Tome, that hunting license in your life to go, hey, dude, I see some stuff that's not good in your life and I'm going to call you out on it. Right. Then you had the boldness to follow through on what that friend told you to do and go sit down with the counselor. Then you had the boldness not to like laugh off what that counselor said to you or push it down or bury it deep inside, even though you're about to walk into training camp, right? And actually like pull on that thread and like let that come out of you. And man, that that alone, I know there's probably so many more stories like that in the book, and I can't wait to read it. But like that alone just speaks volumes to me, and I'm sure so many men listening, of if we want something like that, if we want what God has for us to be squeezed out of us, we got to put ourselves in positions to be squeezed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Kurt, to kind of go with that too, right? Sam, like no one ever wants to be vulnerable, let alone in the workplace, right? So every man, right, that's listening to this or comes across this, we can all probably collectively say, I never want to be vulnerable in my workplace, right? I don't want to show weakness. Now, let's amplify that. You were in the locker room and you made yourself so vulnerable and you were embraced. You were embraced, my friend, right? What a powerful moment for you and for those. And I think that's something that, man, when you can do that, one, receive it is one thing, but then offer that. Learning from that and saying, man, how can I offer that value and blessing to someone else and pour into them that way? Just with a simple question, right? A simple gesture, right? Listening, taking a moment to listen. Man, you talk about being revitalized in a whole new way with a whole new appreciation of the lens on life, let alone your community of people. So dude, yeah, man, to Kurt's point, wow.
And maybe you go there in the book, but like it feels like where culture is at today, especially culture as men, is we are more open than ever to men being more vulnerable than we've ever been. Right? Would you guys agree with that?
Like, oh, totally different generation. Think about like dad's dad, right? For us, you know, you hear about, yeah, my grandfather never told my dad he loved me. Right? Or you're like hearing those kinds of things from male, right, culture and environment to like today. It's like, no, I want to express that love in multitude of ways to my children, right? I want them to know that I love them, or I want my friends to know, like, I'd say I love you, Kurt, all the time, and I genuinely mean it, right? And I think knowing that Jesus loves me allows for me to say that in a way that has authenticity and is intentional, right? So I don't know. What do you think, Sam? What do you think about that?
No, I think both of you all are right. I think about how just that statement, oh, my dad never told me that he loved me. I mean, feel the weight of that. Yes. Even my dad, my dad came from Nigeria where it was like fought in wars. And I mean, it was like we scrapping to eat. Sure. So it wasn't a lot of, oh, son, I just love you so much. It was like, no, get it together.
Yeah.
Get it together. And so, and part of that is, you know, there's good and there's bad to that. The good is the, you know, yeah, you got to fight through and grind. But there's also a piece of, man, this, like, am I loved? Like, and what affirming. Do I need to do to be loved?
Yeah,
that, you know, that weight that we carry. And if you look at God, like when Jesus was baptized, right, by John the Baptist, I call him the Baptist, he was baptizing people, but it talks about like this dove, right? That, you know, that was like descending from heaven, right? And then you, this voice that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? This is the son who I love and whom I'm well pleased. It's like even God affirmed Jesus. So who are we as dads not to affirm our own kids, right? What insecurities or what fears do we have? I meet with this counselor, and in that convo we talked about, and I actually went to every week during off season, during the season, during training camp, every week.
Wow.
And one of the conversations, he said, hey, Sam, sooner or later, you got to put the bat away. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a football player. We're talking about bats. He said, sooner or later, you got to put that bat away. The one that you use to beat yourself up with, got to put it away. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, I'll put it away, but I know exactly where to go if I need to go back and get it again.
Mm.
And so this idea of like being kind to ourselves and being vulnerable, going back to that orange example, before any juice benefit can be squeezed out of that orange, it has to be cut open, has to be peeled, right? That process of peeling or cutting doesn't always feel good. But when you open that mug up, yeah, drinking some really, really good orange juice or eating a really, really good orange. And so what I learned during my process was that God is with me as I am being squeezed and pruned and cut and peeled and hit on this side. And I mean, I got stories for days about times where it's like wrongs, people wronged me. And it was like, what am I supposed to do about this? I got to go defend. I'm a man. I got to, you know. And God's like, no, a real man knows how to control his emotions. Mm-hmm. Right? A real man knows how to overlook an offense. A real man will be slow to anger. And what does the Bible say? Abounding, overflowing with love. That's what a real man does. Yes. That's what a grown man does. Mm-hmm. Little kids fight. Little kids, you know, get angry quickly, get offended. But grown men overlook an offense. And so I'm in this process of learning how to be a grown man. And that's what this book is about. This book is about the emotional side of what a grown man looks like.
Yeah, man, I think we're all there. Like that's
you nailed it, man.
I got a question for you, Sam. And I'm always intrigued by this, and I feel like you'd be a great person to ask because of these different stages you've had, and also because you've tried to not be one-dimensional and continue to improve. And I think as a man, like, our constant improvement, it's not for performance necessary, for like affirming. It's a self thing too, right? Like, yeah, I want to level up, whether that's learning a new skill or dropping some bad behavior that I have or thing that I do. So I like to ask a very simple question. Your experience to this point, what's one habit or behavior that you've had to eliminate, and what's one habit or behavior you've had to develop? And that could be in any realm that you want, but I think that that's important for people here too, because, man, it just starts with the acknowledgement, and then where do you go from there? And I know you talked a little bit about, you know, seeing a counselor and taking that step to help with some improvement, but do you have anything that stands out when I ask that question? It's like, oh yeah, that kind of rings true here.
Yeah. It's the biggest thing for me that I've had to eliminate is this idea of shutting down when I get mad or, you know, and here's what I mean by that. Because if I get wronged, if I ever feel like I've been duped, or feel like I've been taken advantage of, I'll just shut down. And yeah, I'll still be going doing my thing, but it'll almost be like that. We talked about this little kid inside all of us, like, right? That little kid will go to the side, and this shadow kind of piece will come to the forefront. And what comes with that is, that's when you start talking about pornography and strip clubs and you don't even go that far, right? Lust, like lusting with our eyes, right? The Bible right. says, if you look upon a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your own heart, right? So when I just shut down, that shadow comes out. It's like, I want to cope. Everybody, people have their things, whether it's people, it's alcohol, it's women, it's maybe it's just video games to get away, you know, like apathy. Just not
so many vices, being lazy, so many vices.
Food, yeah, right? Man. And so as opposed to addressing the real thing, what I would always do is I would just feel hurt or taken advantage of, lie to, and I would just say, oh, it is what it is. Shut down, and whatever happens, happens. And so I'm in the process of learning that no. Yes, that little kid in us, right? We talked about that, was hurt, but that shadow can't come out. That the adult has to come out and say, you know what? Let me have a conversation about why this wrong. Why was I wrong? Or hey, this tell somebody, hey, well, you did really hurt me. I'm really offended by that. Or hey, I actually care about you, you know, and getting to that point, right? So. That's what I've had to eliminate, the shutting down. What I've had to add, so take out shutting down is what I've done, and add slowing down.
Okay.
And as men, we don't want to slow down, right? We want to go and achieve and drive.
That's so true. Yep.
And this book, I actually got it right here. It's a devotional by a lady named Sarah Young. It's called Jesus Calling.
Okay.
And I picked this book up in the middle of that storm that you all heard about.
Yes.
Funny enough, we talked about 2011. I got this book in 2011 from a friend, and I found it in my house. I was at my parents' house. I ran into it, and it's a devotional. I'm reading it every single day. And what it talks a lot about is just embracing God's love, right? Not about achievement, but about presence, yeah. Right? The subtitle is finding, enjoying peace in his presence. So I've had to stop with the shutting down and start with the enjoying God's presence, slowing down enough to enjoy God's presence, even if it means just getting some quiet time alone just to pray and not even just talk, just to listen. I talk about this in the book as well, right? How do you hear from God? Just sitting inside, prayer is a conversation. Conversation is a two-way street. And so like even just sitting in silence and listening, right? Reading the word of God, just allowing it to just get into my soul. I've had to add that into my routine.
I hear when you say all that, I hear savor. That's the word that comes to mind. Like just savor and enjoy it. No matter what it's delivered, the form it's delivered in, just savor that moment. Think if guys did that more often, just slow down enough to savor a moment and do that repetitively, right? And not miss those little things, right? Kurt, is that where you're going with that? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, so Sam, you said it earlier, like a grown man has abounding love. And John Mark Comer wrote a book, released a book earlier this year called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he talks about how hurry is literally the antonym to love. You think about anytime you've been in a hurry, you can't love well or be loved well if you're in a hurry. So just that idea of like slow, like I think about like every movie where like the dad's really screwing things up. He's always in a hurry and running from thing to thing. And he's shutting down the moments that encourage him to go be with his family and slow things down. So Sam, man, you have an amazing gift of communication,
yes,
of storytelling, and of cutting to the heart of what it means to be a grown man. I'm forever grateful that you came on the show today. I got a good feeling that this ain't the last time that we're going to talk.
No way.
And man, yeah. I even beyond just like taking an hour to come on the show, I just want to say thank you for the hours that you have spent learning for yourself what it means to be a grown man. And then in addition to that, the hours that you have spent pouring into and investing into other men by way of writing the book. And I'm so excited for it to come out. I'm so excited to support you and the mission that you're on. Thanks again for hanging out with us, brother.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. No, thank y'all so much for having me. This was this is what grown men do. We talk about real stuff.
Yep.
We give each other permission to get in each other's lives, to go to the places that other people may not be able to go. You know, but the Bible is real clear, right? As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Right. And also there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so anybody listening, I would encourage you to find one, find two, find three. For me, I found about five, right? I call them my board of directors, people who you give permission to speak into your life, like my buddy did to me. He said, dude, you're screwing up. Keep it this way, your marriage is going to be done.
Yep.
Keep up this way, your relationship with your kids is going to be over. And so find those people in your life. And it takes time. Ask God for them, right? Pray. Right, God says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seeking, you'll find. Knocking, it'll be open. He says, you have not because you asked not. Ask God, give me somebody. Give me somebody who can speak into my life. Another man who I can do life with, who I can give permission to, you know, what do you say? Give that hunting license you talked about.
That's right.
And you ask God, and I'll guarantee you God will answer. Guarantee it.
That's awesome.
I love that, man. I can attest to that too, man.
Yeah,
I can attest
to absolutely.
That too. Well, Sam, brother, I love you. I'm grateful for you. Let the world see you, sammachobook.com. Had to get one more in there before.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you, man. We'll talk
awesome,
again soon.
Thanks.
Fellas, here's the deal. We have way more people listening to this podcast than we do on our email list. What's up with that? If you are listening and you are not signed up for the Grown Man email list, I don't know what you're doing with yourself. Go to grownmanproject.com, get signed up for the email list. We deliver one email a week. That's it, one email a week. But it is packed with resources, other podcasts we're listening to, books that we're enjoying, new opportunities to engage with us and the community here at Grown Man. And so I would love to be able to send that to you once a week. And if you don't like it, guess what? You can unsubscribe. It's really not that hard. But I have a great feeling that if you like this podcast, you will love the email series. So go to grownmanproject.com, get signed up there. Thanks as always for listening to the show. I love the community that is rallying around what it looks like to boldly step into manhood. I appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go be grown men.